So we're turning in our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And I want to read the first 15 verses of the chapter this evening. Deuteronomy 30 and the verse 1. And the word of God says, "And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee, and shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice, according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations, whither the Lord thy God has scattered thee. If any of thine be driven out into the utmost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it. And he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies, and on them that hate thee which persecuted thee. And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord, and do all his commandments which I command thee this day. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, for this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil." Amen. We'll finish there at verse 15, and we do know God will bless this reading of his word to our hearts this evening. Further on, or in this chapter that we've read in verse 15, we see this little statement, "I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil." But when you come on down in the chapter to verse 19, you'll see again that the word of God says, "I call heaven and earth to record against thee, against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life." Therefore, choose life. Whenever we come to the book of Deuteronomy, one of these Old Testament books, and for some, as you read the book of Deuteronomy, it's one of the most difficult books to perhaps approach. It's a difficult book to read. There's a lot in it in terms of genealogy and in terms of law. And the title itself, the word Deuteronomy itself, sometimes even puts people off. Never mind coming to consider the content. But the word Deuteronomy itself simply means second law. In essence, what we have when we come to the book of Deuteronomy is a reinstatement or a restatement of the law, as has been provided previously in the book of Exodus and into Leviticus. One Bible commentator writing about the book of Deuteronomy says that its primary purpose was for the new generation that had arisen during the wilderness journey. They were about to enter the promised land, and in order to enjoy God's blessing there, they must know the law and obey it. And because of the purpose that was there for the book, there are those who avoid this book because people emphasize this thought, "Well, you know, we live under grace now. We don't need to think about the law anymore." But the principle that was established here by this restatement of the law is very, very important for us. You see, it establishes a principle for us that God is unchanging. God never changes, and that's an important lesson for today. Many people today want to put God into the box of their making. They want to imagine a God that they can fathom in their own minds. They want to build their teachings around culture instead of around the Word of God. But God requires His people to be set apart from the world. He requires His people to be set apart from the culture. He requires His people to be set apart from the ways of the world. In fact, we're to be in the world, but not of the world. Now, there's a couple of interesting facts in the book, or about the book of Deuteronomy. It might surprise you to know that it's the third most quoted Old Testament book in the New Testament. Only the Psalms and Isaiah are quoted in the New Testament with a greater frequency than the book of Deuteronomy. Now, that in itself should tell us that it's an important book in the terms of Scripture. It's interesting that when the Lord Jesus Christ was in the wilderness, and as He was going through that period of temptation during those 40 days in the wilderness, and the devil was there tempting Him, that each time the Lord Jesus replied to the devil, He used the Word of God in His reply. And each time that He replied using the Word of God, He quoted from the book of Deuteronomy. Again, that should tell us about the importance of the book of Deuteronomy. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verses 9 and 10, the Apostle Paul, he's writing to New Testament believers. He's writing to the believers in the church in Corinth, and he quotes Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse 4. And after he quotes that verse, he says it was written for our sakes. It was written for the sake of the church. The book has no doubt much to say to us this evening. It has much to say to us today. But when you come to read the passage that we've read this evening, you'll find Moses here, and he's speaking to the people, and he's looking forward to the day when Israel would enter into God's blessing, as they would enter into the promised land. But he's looking beyond the promised land. He's looking into eternity. He's looking forward to that day of redemption. The book of Deuteronomy, and certainly this statement in Deuteronomy 30, has a prophetic context that is yet to be fulfilled. The focus is upon the future national turning to the Lord and the salvation of Israel as they recognize Christ as the Messiah. But in the middle of Deuteronomy's, or this declaration in Deuteronomy chapter 30, this declaration that Moses has given, there is an evident call that we can apply in the gospel. It's directed here to the Jew, but we can take it and apply it today to everyone who listens, in the sense that we need Christ as our Savior. It's only through Christ that we have life. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. As you read this account in Deuteronomy chapter 30, there's three things that we can notice this evening. In the first five verses that we've read, we can see here that we're all disobedient. In the opening verses of this chapter, Moses reminds the people of disobedience. He reminds them of the disobedience of those who have rejected God. He talks about how they need to return unto the Lord their God. In verse 1, he says there's a time when they will remember that God has promised to bless them. But because of their sin, because of their rebellion, God has judged them. You see, it was the sin of the people that brought judgment upon the nation of Israel. They had been brought out. They had been delivered from captivity in Egypt. God had told them that He was going to bring them into the promised land. But their rebellion caused them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And during that time, all those who rebelled, all those who'd rejected, all those who'd looked back and wanted to go back to Egypt, they died in the wilderness. And we have a new generation of Israelites who've been born in the wilderness or have entered into the wilderness while still young people, and they have an opportunity to enter into promise. But it required them to seek God. It required them to be obedient to God. In Deuteronomy 29 and verse 25, Moses reminded them that rebellion would cause men to say that judgment had come because they went and served other gods and worshipped gods whom they knew not. And friends, tonight, as we think about this, this is the problem with sin. This is the problem with sin and lies. Whatever sin we might engage in, it's idolatry. It's rejection of God. Whether we're worshiping ourselves, whether we're worshiping our own desires, whether we're worshiping images, whether we're worshiping the environment, and that's a big thing today. Whether we're worshiping money, whether we're worshiping wealth, whether we're worshiping our careers, whatever it is, anything that we put before God is in essence idolatry. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never trusted in Christ because you're thinking that you want this world. You're thinking that you want the things of this world. You're thinking that you need that more than you need salvation. And yet the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Man is a sinner. The Bible tells us that because of the fall, man entered into sin. And because of that, we all have this root of idolatry within our hearts. We're born separated from God. Separated because of sin. Separated from God because our sin separates us from a holy God. The Bible tells us in Romans 3 and 10, there's none righteous. No, not one. There's none of us born righteous. There's none of us born in a condition whereby we can stand before God. In Romans 3 and 23, it says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Friends, tonight as you're listening to me, this is a somber reality for mankind today. This is a somber reality for you tonight. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, it's a stark message that needs to be heard with regard to the gospel today. The gospel's good news. That's what the word means. The gospel is good news. But it's good news for a reason. Because it deals with the bad news. And the bad news is this, that we're born sinners. And our sin separates us from God. We're all disobedient in our nature. That's the first thing we see here in these first five verses. But as you look down in the chapter and you come to verse 7 down to verse 10, we can see something else here. Not only are we all disobedient, but we can all be delivered. You see, Moses continues in this section by reminding the listeners that God judges sin, but there's a way of deliverance. In verse 9, he speaks about how the Lord will bless them in different ways. He speaks about how God will bring them into the promised land. And as they come into that promised land, as those who are obedient to God, as those who have been delivered, they will have blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon blessing in that place. We thought about that this morning in our morning meeting here. About entering into the promised land and what that means for the Christian. But it's important that we notice something here when it talks about blessing. It's not all about blessing. We notice something about the conditional nature of blessing. The condition that's provided here is so important that it surrounds the blessing in the text. You see, the blessing's outlined in verse 9, but in verse 8, Moses says they must obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments. And then in verse 10, Moses says, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn to the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul. For the children of Israel, who were under the dispensation of law, obedience was key for them. They were required to obey the law. They were required to carry out the sacrifices. They were required to obey what God has said absolutely and utterly. They could never measure up in and of their own standard. And because they could never measure up, there were sacrifice after sacrifice which had to be offered for the sins of the people. And all of those sacrifices were required in order for them to have a standing before a holy God. But they were to obey the voice of the Lord. And they were to turn unto the Lord. Here's the thing for us today, folks. The gospel message is the same. God's calling. God sent his Son. And his Son went to that cross. And there upon that cross, he suffered and he bled and he died. And our brother Ethan sang about the power of the cross. And the power of the cross is this, that those who come and confess their sin and bow the knee at the old rugged cross, their sin will be dealt with. You'll be ready for heaven. You have to obey the call. Obey the voice of God. Turn unto the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. The Lord Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Lord Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. The Lord says, come. That's what the Word of God tells us. We're to obey his command. But he doesn't stop with come, because the Lord says, believe. The Word of God says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He says, turn to him. It tells us to seek his forgiveness, and we will be delivered. You will be delivered tonight from the power and the penalty and the punishment of sin. Maybe tonight you're listening. You're sitting in your car, and maybe you've been in this drive-in service many times. Maybe as we've gone through this season from the start of June, you have hardly missed a night, and you've sat here week after week and after week, and you've driven out without Christ. Maybe you have no intentions of coming into the building. So this is it for you. This is an opportunity. This is a night of opportunity for you. And maybe you're thinking, well, this gospel isn't for me. This gospel isn't for me. The Bible says, if any man thirst. That's an inclusive call to come to Jesus. The gospel has the scope to reach all men. The work of Christ is sufficient for all men. There are none who are outside the scope of the mercy of God. If they will come and bow the knee, if they will come and trust in Christ and in his finished work at the place called Calvary. The Lord Jesus Christ came and he suffered. He went to that cross. Why did he do that? Did he do it because he was a good man? He was the best, because he was perfectly sinless. Holy, harmless, and undefiled. That's what the Bible says about him. But that's not the reason he went to the cross. He went to the cross not because he was a good man, but because he is a perfect Savior, and we needed a perfect Savior. I needed a perfect Savior. You need a perfect Savior if you're outside of Christ tonight. Christ suffered on the cross so that you could be delivered. Delivered from the punishment of sin. We're all disobedient. We can all be delivered. But we all have a decision. As you read these verses down to verse 15, you'll see here again this statement that we've noticed in verse 15 and verse 19. I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Now, as you read those verses, as you read down from verse 11, you'll see that it says, this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. This message is clear tonight if you're here and you're listening. The message isn't hidden for you. The gospel message has been presented to you. And if you've come week after week, you've tuned in week after week, the message isn't hidden to you. You've heard that you're a sinner. You've heard that your sin will separate you from God. You've heard that the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross to save sinners. He died to save you. But the Word of God tells us that there's a decision to be made. I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. There's your choice between life and death, between eternal life and eternal separation from God, eternal judgment in the place the Bible calls hell. Moses tells the people here that as they prepare to enter into the land, there's a choice for them. As they enter into the land, the choice is, will they be obedient to God, or will they rebel against his word? The choice for you tonight is very clear. If you're unsaved, it's abundantly clear. Will you choose life? Or will you choose death? That's the reality. That is the starkness of what we're thinking about tonight. That is the seriousness of it. And it has this eternal impact for you tonight. Because you're making a decision. And your decision tonight is this. Do you want to be ready for God's eternity? Do you want to trust in Christ tonight? Do you want your sin to be dealt with? Do you want that issue to be settled? Or are you saying tonight, I don't want to settle that tonight. I want to think about that. Maybe you're saying tonight, I don't want to think about that. I've many's a year ahead of me yet. Many's a day. I just heard news this afternoon about a man who set out to see his wife, I think, in hospital. He felt unwell on the way. He pulled over to the side of the road. And in a breath, he passed into God's eternity. That's how sudden it can be. That's how quickly it can happen. And if it can happen to that man who, praise God, was ready to go, it can happen to you. It could happen to me. Are you choosing eternal life? Or are you willfully choosing eternal death? Look what Moses says in verse 19. He says, I call heaven and earth to record this day. Heaven and earth to record this day. What if this was your final decision day? What if this was it? What if you never, ever had another opportunity? What if you never heard the gospel again? What if you never got that moment to settle that account? Where would you be if that was the case? You need to ask yourself that question tonight. What if Jesus Christ was to return tonight? The Lord Jesus died so that you could live. And I would say to you, as we read here in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19, two words that I want to leave with you. Choose life. Choose life. Reject eternal separation. You've heard the gospel. You've heard it many times. For the last time in this season of drive-ins, can I say to you, can I implore you, I would plead with you tonight. Come to Jesus. Settle the matter tonight. Be ready for heaven. Be ready for eternity. Don't delay any longer. Because this could be your last opportunity to choose life. I trust that you will.